There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Hello and welcome. You're tuned in to the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. It's a whole new week and we're back. I'm Dave and that's Tim. Hey, Tim, how you doing today?
Hey, pretty good.
Excellent. Hey, we got a weird kickoff to today's show.
Okay.
I guess our listeners are tired of hearing us debate whether it's going to be zombies or AI that kills us. And they've given me three new things to consider, Tim.
Okay.
Well, actually two new. The third story is just a weird story I put in because it's another animal weird related kind of tale. So let me just start with this. First of all,
sure.
a million cannibal ants have been unleashed from a nuclear bunker in Poland, Tim.
Okay.
Yeah, who'd have thought that cannibal ants might be our next concern? It's a tale of two wood ant colonies. One ruled by a queen, the other ruled by cannibalistic hunger, Tim.
Hmm.
The first ant colony formed around its queen, who came to settle in a ventilation pipe of an abandoned Soviet-era nuclear bunker in Poland. Now, the wood ants built a large colony in this ventilation pipe, and the colony's workers would often venture up to the surface world to gather food. But the workers didn't always make it safely through the pipe, Tim. Sometimes they would slip and fall down into the cold, dark, empty bunker below. Some of the ants would die from the impact, while others, perhaps as many as 1 million, would survive. These fallen worker ants became a second colony living on the bunker floor, where they survived for years without light or any source of food. Except, Tim, the steady stream of workers falling down the hole each day. Yeah, how do you like that?
You're clumsy, you know, aunt, evidently. Yeah.
Aunt you used to go to kindergarten with is now eating you. You know, your college roommate aunt buddy is now munching on your legs as you're screaming for your life.
How fun.
Yeah. The lost colony of nearly 1 million wood ants persisted for years by preying upon their fallen brethren, according to a new paper published by insect researchers in Poland. They have a lot of time in Poland.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
The researchers found the ants in 2013 and announced their findings in 2016. But now, only now have they confirmed that the ants are eating each other. Soylent ants, Tim.
Sounds like a party.
Yeah, the corpses served as an inexhaustible source of food, which substantially allowed survival of the trapped ants, the study authors wrote in their paper. The findings are significant because social insects like ants don't normally prey upon other members of their colony. That's what the study shows. Cannibalism usually only occurs when ant colonies are at war with one another. The bunker was one of several nuclear weapon caches that the Soviet Union established in Western Poland. Now they've been allegedly empty and abandoned for decades, Tim, except for the cannibalistic ants, the zombie ant march. Tim, that's what's coming next. Researchers led by Wojciech Czekowski, a professor at the Polish Academy of Sciences, did not find any other source of food in that bunker. However, they did notice that the fallen ants were building their own mound, much like they might have done on the surface. In total, they discovered about 2 million dead ants and 1 million live ones in the bunker. There were no cocoons, larvae, or queens to be found. But researchers say these bunker ants show the monumental potential that wood ants have to self-organize even under extreme circumstances, Tim.
Wait, Dave, did you say dead ant, 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 dead ant?
That's right.
Dead ant, dead ant.
Yeah. Researchers say these bunker ants show monumental, that's the word I was trying to reach, monumental potential to self-organize even under extreme circumstances, Tim. So what it's basically telling us is that if wood ants are willing to eat each other under extreme circumstances, humanity is about to fall. Because the ants are going to get tired of feasting on those little bodies. There's 2 million ants they've already eaten, 1 million ants that are still hungry. Poland is in trouble, Tim. We need to send over the big shoe of destiny to just stomp the shit out of these little eaters.
I wish we had a camera because you'd see me shaking, but I got three words for you, Dave. Actually, four. It'd be three. I'm having a hard time counting today. Flamethrower and Orkin.
Wow.
You're done. You're done with it. It's just that simple.
Now, what's interesting, though, is they repatriated the cannibal ants into the other ant colony. And suddenly they seem to have left behind their corpse-eating ways.
Funny.
In other words, the two ant colonies have become one again, and they all have access to the outside world, Tim. But just knowing that Larry, the ant, Tim, that you used to be an usher with at church, ate Carrie, the girl that you both had a crush on as ants. Just realize that at any time that flip could happen. I just want you to think about that, Tim. You just don't know. You don't know.
I didn't know I hung out with ants.
Yeah. Cannibal ants, Tim. Cannibal ants.
Okay.
Now, here's the second story to prove the outside world wants nothing more than to kill us. Okay. Are you ready for this?
Sure.
This is what's taking place in what I like to call America's Australia. You like to refer to it as Texas, Tim.
Oh, yeah, Texas. I'm quite fond, yeah.
Texas has spiders the size of my head. Texas has scorpions. Texas has many things like snakes that want to eat you, kill you, black widow spiders, Tim. It's like every negative creature in the world has moved to Texas.
Yeah, tarantulas.
Yeah, they're brutal. There's one more, Tim. If we didn't have enough shit to worry about in this world, there are acid-squirting land lobsters invading Texas.
What?
Acid-squirting land lobsters from hell, according to this article. And not the good acid, Tim. Not the type you put a tab on your tongue and start tripping the light fantastic. No, no. Meet the vine garoon, an adorable little creature that spits acidic substances from its tail as a defense mechanism. They've been recently spotted in West Texas near Big Bend Park, Tim. Big Bend, not Big Bend Park, which is in England. And if we start seeing acid-squirting lobsters in England, Tim, it's time to just burn the damn world down.
Oh, they'll just surrender when they see that.
Listen to how I master this next word, Tim.
Okay.
The Mastrigaporcatus giganticus.
Wow.
Arthropod.
Wow. Hold on. You got to get one of these for that. Thank you. Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I butchered it anyway, but I appreciate the show of love. Also known by its more common name of the vinegaroon, has been spotted by officials at Big Bend National Park. And the image of the pincher-equipped acid-shooting resident was enough for Houston Chronicle reporter Abigail Rosenthal to refer to it as a land lobster from hell. See, she's that inventive, Tim, that she looked at it and called it a land lobster from hell.
Now, is it not from hell if it tastes good and in a lot of melted butter?
I don't know. I do love me a little lobster.
Yeah.
Fans of the Big Bend National Park's Facebook page went wild with the comments about their discovery. I'm going to have nightmares from this photo, one fan commented. That's enough internet for today. Oh, you snowflake.
Come on. I mean, it's way down in Texas. I mean, although I'm afraid for our Canadian friends.
Yeah. Right there on that Texas-Canadian border. It's going to be rough.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Canada. They've got, from my understanding, they've got zombie moose.
They do.
Man-eating deer.
Yep.
And now, God knows, they might have land lobsters from hell crossing the borderline, Tim.
Although I can see, because our Canadian friends right there by the Texas border are very, very astute. They're very smart and they're very cagey. So I can imagine them putting them underneath one of them, their maple trees, and just putting some of that, their maple syrup on them and having a good old fashioned feast.
This ass-kissing of Canada comes as Tim is working for a Canadian TV company for Paranormal Night Shift. Normally, he would resort back to his hateful ways towards Canadian culture.
No, that's Mally.
What?
Mally hates the Canadians.
Mally hates Canadians.
Yeah, I love Canadians.
Well, one Canadian, at least.
Yeah. She's the one who wanted to bury a Canadian under a satellite. Remember that?
Do I? Holy cow. I want to know why Mally's not on the show.
Yeah,
we just
exactly.
Don't condone that kind of
right.
Hatred.
I love me some Canadians. They're nice people. You know,
I hate with all the Canadians, man, woman, and moose.
I'm of Canadian heritage. One of my relatives founded Quebec.
Now, when you say founded, does that mean he crossed the border and he walked in? He's like, I've been looking for Quebec. Oh, don't worry, Tim. I founded it.
No. I mean, like, actually found the.
Oh, found he helped Quebec. Settle it.
Yeah.
Okay. He's a settler.
Yeah. He's a settler.
In Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did he cross the Texas border to get there to settle?
He did. He had a small bit of brisket, had a full tummy. He stepped over the border and went, oh, Quebec. I'm going to take a nap here.
Good God. You need that nap after a good slab of Canadian bacon.
Oh, my gosh. You know, if you've ever had the sweet jalapeno 14-hour roasted and smoked baby back bacon, it's to die for.
Holy God. I'd fall asleep just trying to remember what I'm supposed to order.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Vinegaroons are coming out of their burrows looking for food and love thanks to the summer rains, according to Park Service. They grow to around 3 inches long and are generally harmless. That is, unless they feel threatened, Tim. Once they're annoyed, they're capable of shooting acidic acid from their whips to discourage intruders and overly curious fans of bugs, hence their name, the Vinegaroon, which actually sounds tasty and I think would be delicious over a nice Caesar salad.
Oh, wouldn't it, though?
Would you like blue cheese? No, I'd like the vinegaroon, please.
Yeah, and if you
just bring it out, squeeze it by the tail, and it just vinegarizes your salad.
And a nice cracked pepper over it, if you would.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, fortunately, the spray is non-poisonous, according to Texas A&M AgriLife Extension, if you want to believe those knuckleheads.
Well, what are we worried about then?
They're spitting acid, Tim, from their asses on us.
You used to do that to me in college like three times a night.
Well, speaking of
acid, I survived.
I told you I had a third story. It's not really like we have to worry about the end of the world with this one, but I was just, man, you know, this is set up the applause meter for this one, Tim,
okay.
The round of applause, because you got to appreciate a jellyfish now even more than before, Tim, because this jellyfish-like creature spouts a fresh anus every time it poops. That's right. That's right. That's really lazy. You just, I got to poop again, right out of the elbow. Doesn't matter where it just happens.
Right out of the elbow, huh?
Yeah. Well, wherever it wants to. When it comes to crazy party tricks, the warty comb jelly has everyone beat. New research shows that these transparent sea creatures are able to sprout a fresh anus every time they poop. When they're done with their bathroom break, the newly formed butthole vanishes without a trace. Yeah. There is no documentation of a transient anus in any other animals that I know of. Sidney Tam, author of the new study and biologist at the Marine Biological Laboratory in Woods Hole, Massachusetts. Good God. I do like that they're investigating anuses in a place called Woods Hole.
Well, yeah.
Massachusetts.
Wait, I think I got another effect here. Give me the Bill Curtis version and vanishes without a trace line again. Are you ready?
What do you mean? Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Hold on. Let me see. I don't know if I can get to Bill Curtis. I've got to be in that Bill Curtis mode. Let me see.
Okay. Right.
When it comes to crazy party tricks, the warty comb jelly has everyone beat. New research shows that these transparent sea creatures are able to sprout a fresh anus every time they poop. When they're done with their bathroom break, the newly formed butthole vanishes without a trace. I like it. That's a nice little effect. That's a good one.
Isn't that good? Yeah.
I'm Bill Curtis, and I'm here to talk to you about transient anuses. The warty comb jelly, or sea walnut, belongs to a group of The Warticum jelly, or sea walnut, belongs to a group of jellyfish-like creatures called centaurs. The see-through ocean dwellers are descended from one of the oldest animal lineages and have ancestors that have lived in the Cambrian period some 525 million years ago, before the internet. Unlike true jellyfish, which have a single gut opening that functions as a mouth and anus simultaneously, much like most politicians, centaurs have a through gut, with some species even lucky enough to sport multiple poop chutes. I'm Bill Curtis, and I'm here to talk to you about multiple poop chutes. In the case of the sea walnut, though, Tam struggled to track down even a single anus. Not for lack of trying. It is not visible when the animal is not pooping, Tam told New Scientist. There's no trace under the microscope. It's invisible to me. Using video Let me try this again.
Okay.
Using video microscopy, Tam was able to observe the comb jelly's unique defecation routine, where apparently they also have too much time on their hands, Tim. As waste builds up in the animal's gut, it balloons out until it touches the outer layer called the epidermis, which is a new finding, this epidermis. Once there, gastrodermis and epidermis fuse to form an anal opening, which closes up after excretion. Because the gut and epidermis are only a single cell layer thick, the process is very speedy. Like eating at White Castle after a night of heavy drinking. Thank you, everybody. So there you go. He grows a new anus every 10 minutes. Boy, I thought I had poop problems. This thing's small, and it's pooping every 10 minutes, and a new poop hole popping up. At some point, you've got to be nothing but a bunch of holes.
You would think, yeah. Wow.
Maybe the thing is, you got to stop looking for the asshole. Maybe he is the whole ass. That's the whole thing, Tim. Thank you, everybody. So there you go. Three crazy critter stories to start off today's program, Tim.
Life is just a crazy merry-go-round, and we're just taking a ride, Dave.
That's what they keep telling me. Strange shadowy figure has been captured in CCTV footage. Tim, I've had people ask me, what is CCTV? Is that a channel over in Britain? It stands for closed circuit television, Tim.
It's, I thought it was closed caption for the longest time.
You thought it was what?
Closed caption.
Closed caption. No.
Yeah.
CCTV footage is not that. It's
okay.
What I said earlier. Now my mind is blank because I have closed caption
trapped
in my brain. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, bastard. Shadowy figures have been captured in CCTV footage in Scotland, and it leaves netizens' minds blown, Tim. A bizarre paranormal activity was witnessed in Scotland, Glasgow area, where a strange shadowy figure was captured in CCTV footage installed outside a house's premises. A bizarre paranormal activity was witnessed. I guess you're just going to keep repeating that line over and over, and this as I scroll down the page.
Yeah.
Anyway, the CCTV footage installed outside the house premises found the shadowy figure, according to a report by Times Now. The strange incident was reported by Maxine Hughes, who lived in Barrowfield. Once I get into that voice, it seems to want to just come out on its own. She lives in Barrowfield with her husband and two children. While explaining the incident, Hughes said this was not the first occasion when such a strange incident was captured in the surveillance camera. She added that the shadowy figure was also recorded when her children were playing outside around a week ago. The family called a priest to bless the house. She said that the black figure was initially spotted by her husband at night. Subsequently, the figure has been spotted several times for over a week now. Maxine Hughes said that the strange incident has terrified her family in such a way that they have called in a priest to secure members from any evil energy. We have been living with a mind of fear. Then we have decided to call a local priest in order to bless our house, said Hughes, and added she went and sent the clip to her sister and asked whether the incident was related to the paranormal activities that she is associated with. The video was shared by Nikki Milhern, sister of Hughes, on her Facebook wall with a caption, "Gonna look what my sister caught on her camera. What the fuck is that?" The video that was uploaded on July 13 has grabbed the attention of thousands of netizens. One of the users who seemed... this is so poorly written. I can't read this shit. Has anybody proofread this before sending it to me? I'm Bill Curtis, and I have no time for this nonsense. One of the users who seemed to think the incident was funny wrote, "Is that nowhere the Ween's bike was took from next to the fence? Very spooky, cause defo something, even in the light of day, as well need to get the Ghostbuster crew involved, lol." Nikki Mulhern, "Aw, hire me, I will. Sort the fecker out," wrote the second user. Where's the world coming, Tim?
No idea.
So, yeah, you could see the video. We'll put it up at Dave Schrader. No, not at Dave Schrader. Well, actually, DaveSchrader.com is my website, which will also take you to darknessradio.com. There's a little inside Easter egg for you, Tim. If you type Dave Schrader, if you spell it correctly, S-C-H-R-A-D-E-R, boom, you find Darkness Radio. But it's best just to go to darknessradio.com. Click on the news tab, and you'll see the all of the news stories I'm reading today posted there. And you can go in and watch the video. I'm still not sure that it's not just like a cobweb, maybe a small bug caught in a cobweb blowing past the lens. But what do I know? I'm Bill Curtis. All right. A Staffordshire woman claims she was attacked by an angry ghost who followed her home one day. Leah Lewis. No wonder she followed you home. Hubba hubba.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's a cutie. Holy Christmas. A 21-year-old woman called in a psychic medium to cleanse her haunted home after an aggressive ghost assaulted her in the shower. Leah Lewis said, and let me just say, now that I've read that sentence, I don't condone any type of assault from ghosts or humans. I'm Bill Curtis, and I approve this ad. Thank you. Leah Lewis said she endured months of ghostly activity before things took a turn for the worse and she discovered unexplained scratches on her thigh. She believes the marks were left by an angry spirit. Leah, who lives with her mom, Colette, in Newhall, Burton, recalled, "I didn't feel anything at all until I saw the scratches when I was drying myself. I told my mom and she said, I think we need to contact Ian Griffiths, the psychic medium." Incredibly, it's believed that the ghost followed Leah home from her work at a shop in Burton that he had been haunting, records the Staffordshire Live. There was speculation from store staff that the ghost was a man who has been murdered in the area years before it became a shop, as he was described as aggressive and angry. The trouble started a few weeks after Leah's grandfather died. Colette said Leah started saying that she could see and hear things which none of us could. "I remember this one evening driving to my mom's. She asked me if I saw a little girl stood on the roadside, and I was blown away as I couldn't see anyone. Fast forward a few months and her ability has only gotten stronger. She's come home from work to tell me about the activity she's experienced while being there. Little did we know she would end up having the man upstairs," as she referred to him, "follow her home and become our worst nightmare." Good God, it looks like road rash on her side.
Ew.
Or thigh, whatever part of the body she showed me. Oh, it's her thigh. I couldn't tell. I guess this is underwear-ish. Maybe. Anyway, Leah started to hear noises and movements upstairs, Tim. Then one particular night, she says, as she left her bedroom, she saw a tall, bald, slender man leaving another bedroom. On another occasion, Leah's mother said she heard a man breathing down her ear. It was three low breaths. Something like this, Tim.
Let's go, Vikes.
That's right.
Go Vikes.
That same evening, Leah found the scratches after taking the shower and insists she could not have done them herself as she was they were too pronounced. She later went into her mother's room asking her what she was looking for in the wardrobe as she could hear her mom rummaging around in there. However, she was shocked to discover her mom was in bed and hadn't moved nor been in her wardrobe. The next night, Leah took a shower and after she got out, came downstairs to show her mom another mark she had across her hip. Her mom said, now her being physically harmed, I thought enough is enough and I needed to do something about it. I asked my friends and they asked their friends and they asked their friends and so on and so on and so on, Tim. And then she got a few recommendations for Ian Griffiths and I reached out to him, giving him a small description of what had been going on right from the get-go. He was amazing. Leah says she is now looking into her own supernatural abilities. She added, when Ian came to our house, he was able to describe my brother's bedroom in detail, and even though he hadn't been in it. He went into my mom's bedroom and went straight to the wardrobe and said he could sense activity. I said, that is where I had been hearing everything too. I thought I was going mad. He went into my bedroom and saw my candles, which I used when I meditate to speak to my granddad. He confirmed everything we had experienced, and then he passed the man over to the other side from his house. One day at 6:40 p.m., I was leaving my house to go shop, and suddenly I felt really angry and felt I needed to get out. Ian later said this was around the same time the man crossed over. Mr. Griffiths told Staffordshire Live that as soon as he heard from Leah's mom, he pictured the man as slim and tall, wandering around the house and had never been there before. He said, I told her what I was picking up, and she says that's what's been happening and what we have been seeing wandering around the house. The male spirit didn't seem positive. I got a more negative feeling from him. And over the years of mediumship, I've learned how to remove spirits. It is the years of learning and experience removing good and negative spirits. Some negative ones can be challenging at times. Some can mark you, as it did with Leah, or make you feel ill and put unwanted emotions on people. I've been affected by some negative ones, pushed, marked, and even nasty comments close to my ear or face. But in the end, it comes down to learning about how to deal with each negative spirit that I've come across over the years. Once I've removed the spirit, I start blessing the person that has been affected and blessing the home in each room. I say prayers. It may take a bit of time going around the home. Some places have portals where spirits can go through like a doorway. This home had two portals where spirits can come and go. I sealed them up and nothing else is coming into this house. Each time someone texts about spirits in their home, you never know what you're going to come across or what challenge you face. Sometimes it can take your life. I love the work of mediumship and paranormal investigating. Well, that's a strange way to end the story.
Yeah.
At any time I could die, and I love this job. So,
I don't mean to laugh at that, but the way you phrased it.
I love it.
I love it.
I'll have this news story up as well so you can go see Leah's scratched up thighs.
Wow.
That's the way I say it, doesn't it?
Yeah. Wow.
But you can go check it out. Plus, there's a video on there, the most haunted places in West Midlands. So you can see that story in the story. Now, Tim, speaking of the story in the story,
okay.
This Thursday, live, we have got one hell of a show for people that are too connected to the spiritual realm, maybe have spirits attached to them, maybe even spirits of people still living. What you say?
What?
How is that possible? Well, we all connect and pieces, fractures of us will stick with one another. I've got some experts that are going to come on the show. Jamie Houck will be here with us. She is a psychic and a medium and returning to the show for the first time in, I think, about 8 years, Tim, Echo Bodine Live.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so Echo's going to be with us. We're going to talk with her, and we're going to talk about the modalities of energy healing. And when I was on the show last week, and we were discussing chiropractic offices being haunted and how, sometimes if you're aligning the energy centers and things, are you releasing these emotions, tensions, spiritual connections? And we're going to talk a little bit about that because I get a lot of people saying that that spoke to them. So I reached out to Jamie, I reached out to Echo, and I have another guest that I'm hoping to get involved on this as well. We're going to discuss this and find out some more information. So,
I don't have an answer for that.
Nope.
Well, thank you, Echo. I appreciate that, but you weren't the one I was speaking to. She's always listening.
I know, right?
Anyway, Ms. Bodine will be back with us, and we'll have an excellent conversation with her and Jamie Houck this Thursday. How do you watch? Simple. Go to the Darkness Radio YouTube page. Subscribe. It's free. Click the bell so that you never miss any of the new content. Or also follow along on our Facebook pages and our Twitter pages, because we do put them there as well so that you can watch along. And then the episode, the audio is pulled and made as an episode the next day here on Darkness Radio. So that's what's coming up this Thursday night live. And we want you to interact. If you have questions for our guests, thoughts, concerns, if you think you're haunted, if you think there's some kind of spiritual energy or residue, I also want to talk to them about carrying over the spiritual residue and energy from our past lives that may be afflicting us and affecting us in this lifetime, Tim.
Okay.
Yeah. You think of them apples.
Them some interesting apples. You know, I up until I was unable to be worked on anymore because of different various injuries, I used to see a chiropractor like twice weekly. And it was, I don't know, that kind of hits me in an interesting way, too. It was an interesting feeling after being worked on because you almost feel like you're out of body. It's a different experience, especially when you have to have really intricate work done. I mean, you feel better physically, but I don't know how to describe the because I have a lot of stuff done with my neck, my lower back, my mid back, hips. I had to have a lot of stuff done, and it was almost all the way up the chakra centers.
Interesting. See, so there could be something to that.
Yeah, and I almost felt like I'd been screwed and tattooed. That's the only way to put it. Like you'd been scrambled for a minute. Yeah, it would take me a good hour to get back kind of centered and like it's almost like you'd been in a car wreck. You know, like you know that feeling when you've been in a car wreck, like you kind of feel like you've been shook up in your own body and you kind of need to get right. You know.
Yeah,
that's the feeling I would feel when I'd go to the chiropractor.
We'll have to discuss that and find out more about that on Thursday night. So make sure you tune in. It's going to be an interesting show. You know, I posted a picture jokingly. My friend Greg Lawson took a photograph of me at the Belvoir Winery when I was outside of one of the haunted buildings. Mm-hmm. It was not a flattering photograph. My shirt I was ballooned out in the front and does not hang properly off my back. So I looked like I was wearing a muumuu. Mm-hmm. And I said, I just saw pictures of me from a recent event. I'm not happy with how huge I've gotten. Good grief. Upside is, if they do a live action Simpsons movie, I have to be the only choice to play Homer. And I posted a picture of Homer next to it, which is uncannily similar to my look, right?
Okay.
And so many people wrote beautiful, nice things. And I was trying to do it more of a joke, you know, just kind of obviously, you know, link myself with being Homer. And I think my favorite message just came from a private message from Seamus. This might be one of the most backhanded compliments I've had in a long time. Okay. Hey, Dave, you're not fat. You just have a dad bod. Never be ashamed of your body. I just needed to show some love and respect for a fellow fat guy. So you start off by telling me you're not fat. Don't be shamed by it. Never let that bother you. I just wanted to weigh in, and show some respect for a fellow fat guy.
Oh,
so thanks, Seamus. Prick.
You prick.
No, I appreciate it. I know the thought was there. Not much thought, but there was some thought there.
Oh,
say, yeah.
Yeah. I've always acknowledged I don't photograph well, but man.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, Tim.
Yeah.
From one fat guy to another, don't worry about being fat. You're not fat, fatty.
I'm just enormous.
Yeah, that was an interesting way to couch it. But thank you.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. We've got more news stories, plus your emails and a theater of the mind when we return here on Darkness Radio. Welcome back to the program. This is the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio, the first, the only, the original. We're back. And I want to help people. I've had a lot of emails lately. People are confused, Tim.
Okay.
So let me give you the timeline. We began the show as Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show back in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
But that was way too long as a URL, so we just called it darknessradio.com.
Well, because people were calling us that, too. They were like, well, what do we call you? Yeah.
Well, we darknessradio.com was the URL from the get-go, so that was understandable.
Yeah.
And then people just started calling us Darkness Radio, and that kind of became the – now, you'll hear it in the intro. It's still Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I always consider the show. But Darkness Radio is the main format. When we made the split and we were originally going to do an addendum show.
Yeah, like an ancillary show. Yeah.
Right. That would be on podcast one as part of the Jericho Network. We thought, well, this is great. He's got millions of listeners. This will be a great way to bring new listeners over to Darkness Radio. So we created a 1 hour podcast once a week called Beyond the Darkness. And it was going to air over there. And it was a totally different vibe to it than what we do on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And, we did that. iHeartRadio put their foot down in a petulant way and got very upset that we would be willing to go do something over there. Yet at that point in their history, they were doing nothing with podcasting. They put the shows up, but they weren't – podcasting just wasn't a thing to them. Terrestrial radio was it. And they weren't even selling advertising, nor could they figure out how to advertise on a podcast. We thought, well, this is great. It's a 1 hour show a week that'll bring new listeners into our show. And they just, big business couldn't wrap their head around that. So they said, nope, you're either Darkness Radio or you're gone. So we split the middle and I took over Beyond the Darkness over on podcast one. Tim stuck with Darkness Radio. They didn't like that we played a little shell game action with them. And we elected then to just stick with podcast one, where then we launched as Darkness or Beyond the Darkness over there for like 5 years. Then when we moved over to Stitcher and our new home, we decided just to kind of take back the original vibe of Darkness Radio and just started referring to ourselves as Darkness Radio. Even people that listen to Beyond the Darkness and loved it still called us Darkness Radio. But there are people that seem confused by, you know, why did you quit one show to start another show? And then, you know, and what's this Darkness Radio shenanigans? So for people that that only found us when we were Beyond the Darkness, I hope that encapsulates kind of everything.
Yeah.
On how and why. Plus, then we do True Crime Tuesday, which, just for you to know, we are working at trying to put that into the fold here so that it's available and accessible for everybody that listens to Darkness Radio. So hopefully in the next month, Tuesdays you'll hear True Crime Tuesdays. Wednesdays you'll hear our paranormal news, supernatural news, parashare episodes. Thursdays will be guests. And on Fridays, when we can, you'll hear a bonus episode. So I'm supposed to go back to filming, Tim. And I want to make kind of an announcement here. This is just to give kind of people an insight. Everybody wants to know, when is Holzer Files coming back? They have not canceled Holzer Files, but they have not renewed Holzer Files at this point. There was COVID, Tim, this thing, COVID,
really?
That happened. And for about 18 months, it really screwed up a lot of productions. And they had purchased a lot of programs and shows that needed to be created and done. And they're still trying to work through that. So I and a teammate have been reassigned. That's what I'm looking for. So we're going to film another little project together starting in September. That'll be September and October, maybe a little bit of November. And that should be airing early next year. Another one of our teammates is also filming another program and project. So hopefully that'll keep us busy and in your guys' faces until they decide to bring Holzer Files back, if they do. So we're not gone. All three of us are going to still be out there working in the TV field and continuing to bring you great programming and great storylines. So I hope that you'll stick with us on that. And then with a little luck, maybe in 2022, later 2022, we'll get back to filming Holzer Files. But that's what we can tell you now. So you don't have to keep emailing me and messaging me and sending us voicemails wondering when we're going to return with more Holzer Files. As soon as we do, we'll let you know. But we'll be filming all new projects starting here in September, all three of us. So I just wanted to let you know that. All right, let's get to it. Tim, should we do a couple of emails?
Yeah.
Hi, guys. That's how this one starts off.
Hiya.
Love your show ever since I stumbled across it in a roundabout way a few years ago. I was wondering if either one of you have experienced being wakened by someone calling your name when no one actually did. It's happened to me occasionally over the years, but seems to be occurring more frequently lately. Sometimes I recognize the voice or get a mental picture of the person calling me, but other times I don't. When I do recognize who said my name, it's been both people who have passed, like one of my grandmothers, or people who are still alive, like my mom, who was 100 miles away at the time. It happened when I was living alone and no one around, when I was living with other people. Usually it seems to wake me from a deep sleep, but sometimes I think I was already starting to wake up. Now, that's the hypnagogic, hypnopompic states going in and out of sleep. Reportedly, those are the moments when we're most apt to have a paranormal experience. It's also the time when we're most apt to have a hallucinogenic moment, because we're dream world and reality kind of bleed together momentarily. So it's tough to say. Maybe somebody was calling for you in a dream and you heard it. Maybe the spirit realm was calling out to you to let you know that they're there. It's impossible to say exactly what's going on, but I can speak for myself. Yes, I've been woken by somebody screaming. As a matter of fact, I think I mentioned it recently. I woke up to the sound of my daughter screaming, "Dad! Dad!" And I woke up, put on my pants, put on my shirt, and went down the hall to check. And she was sound asleep, or her friend was spending that. She was sound asleep. My daughter was in the restroom. And I said, "Were you screaming for me?" She's like, "No." "Why?" And I said, "I was woken up by the sound of you screaming for me." "Oh, that's weird, Dad. No, I'm fine." I'm like, "Okay, you didn't need toilet paper or something?" No, everything's fine." I'm like, "Okay." And I went back to bed. Checked on my other daughter too, just to make sure that I didn't misunderstand the voice. But I've had that happen. Have you ever been woken by the sound of somebody calling your name, Tim?
Many times.
Is it recognizable voices?
Yes, both recognizable and unrecognizable. The unrecognizable ones I chalk up sometimes either to a spirit guide or to, because it's a human voice. I think it's either a guide or somebody warning me to wake up at that time, because the times I've heard the unrecognizable voice, believe it or not, I've been aspirating in my sleep. I've been acid reflux to the point where it's getting in my lungs.
That's not good.
No. But I've corrected that issue now, so I haven't heard that voice. But
you swallow a cork at night so it plugs up the esophagus.
Yes, yeah, I do.
That's not a good plan either, Tim. No, I'm just going to say that I'm not a doctor, Tim. Although I do like to play one.
But the Twinkie doesn't absorb all the stomach acid. So it's a cork now. Yeah. But the voices I recognize are generally either passed on or I have heard some living voices, but I generally chalk that up to a dream when it happens. So
crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, she says here in this email, just this morning I was deep asleep and I got a very vivid mental image of someone standing at the bottom of the stairs and yelling my name. It was a person who was very much alive and does actually do this often when I'm upstairs. They're not, and they need something, except they weren't awake yet. And even if they had screamed my name, there's no way I would have heard them over the noise of my air conditioner with my door closed. Do you think this is just something that's a result of the brain doing what it does when we sleep, or could it be something else? Would love to hear your guys' thoughts on this. Thanks for all you do to keep up the good work. That comes from DBT. Yeah, you know me, Tim. Well, it could be that maybe you're hearing a time slip of when the person was down there yelling for you. Maybe in their dream realm, they were going about their own thing and living out a regular day and called for you. You should talk to your roommates if you ever have that experience. Did they have a dream about you or yelling for you? Maybe you're telegraphing psychically to one another during sleep time. I'm not sure. There's a lot of different theories and concepts regarding this. A lot of it, I think, is just dreams or just reliving moments. You've got a loud air conditioner. I have loud fans. My wife sleeps with one on her side of the bed. I sleep with one on my side of the bed. So we do that to, you know, help us sleep. We both need that white noise, but we also like to be cool at night. But I can still hear voices over the top of it when my kids scream or yell. I don't know if it's parents attuning or what, but it doesn't mean that you can't hear. It just lessens the lower sounds, of walking or people going to the bathroom or something, so it doesn't wake you up. That's what works for me. Maybe try sleeping with a white noise machine a little louder and see if you're still hearing that. Maybe you'll even hear it more clearly. The other suggestion is go get a recorder that has voice activation. Set it to voice activation. Turn it on at night and leave it next to your bed. Now, granted, you may not like what you hear. We have had people tell us that, right? Those instances where you can hear yourself. And in the background, you hear, I'm going to kill you, right? That could happen, and that could be terrifying. But be aware that that could happen. Or you could just, you know, maybe you're hearing the voices. Maybe it'll record that magnetic disturbance as well. I'm not sure.
Just to add to Dave's point, with a running fan or a loud air conditioner or anything like that, there's sonic distortion, and extra movement of airwaves moves sound waves in a different way. So there have been times where if we have fans moving all throughout the house, or if we have central air up higher or whatever, if you hear air currents moving, it's going to move sound waves in a different way where you think you hear voices where you don't hear them. And that's simply air currents moving sound waves in a different direction. So it could be at one time you think you hear a voice and it's not a voice. It's just a sound wave being bent by an air current. It's not necessarily a voice, but in your case, it could be either or. You could have actually heard a voice from another place in time, like Dave put it, or a spirit voice. It could be too that you did actually hear a physical sound wave that was being bent in a different direction. Could be one or the other.
Very well. Now, I will say this, Tim, and I've mentioned it in the past on the show, but it's been a while. This is, I grew up in a haunted house in Illinois. Mm-hmm. And many of the kids around the town would talk about how at night it sounded like parties going on mm-hmm. in our houses. And I'm like, well, is this Native American Indian grounds? Well, these must have been some partying indigenous people, because it always sounds like glasses clinking and voices and music. And you turn off your fan and listen. We were all fan sleepers because we didn't have central air back in the day, Tim. Believe it or not, there was a time when every house did not have central air conditioning
right.
or internet.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And our phones, Tim,
mm-hmm.
They didn't fit in our pocket. And if they did, we'd have to stop after 6 feet because that's when the cord would yank them back out.
That's very true.
That was attached to the wall. But I, as an adult, grew to learn that what happens is sound waves. The sound of my voice continues. But if you're close to me, you hear it because the vibration is tight. Further away, you're not going to hear it as clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Further away, even less clearly, because it becomes bigger and loopier. Well, what happens is the fan works as an eardrum. So as it's pulling air through and sound waves are coming through, sound waves may hit the back of your fan.
Mm-hmm.
And then using the template of white noise, the shh, it telegraphs those voices. So not clear enough to hear specifically, but you'll hear the clinking of glasses and things. I don't know why I'm wrapping my knuckles together like clinking of glasses, Tim. This is for the record, mm-hmm. not what glasses sound like.
No.
More kind of like that more like a pirate leg on a ship, that one too. I don't think I'm getting the right noise here, but I digress. So you're hearing some of these. And if your air conditioner's, obviously probably mounted in the window or on the wall, the sound waves might come through the back from neighbor's house, but it's so distorted, you're hearing voices but not hearing clearly, and your mind fills in the rest. Our mind is pretty remarkable in what it can do, and sometimes it'll fill in those things. So your name could be Tim, and somebody next door is yelling, "What time is it?" And your brain fills it in. You're like, "Tim, what time is it?" or something. I don't know. But it could be a myriad of different things, or a demon, probably a demon. When we get right down to it, Tim, it's probably demons, right?
Well, no, to answer part of your question, as far as sound waves night with the parties and whatnot. Now you could have, sound travels further at night because of temperature inversion. Okay.
Right. Wow.
All right.
Look at you. Yeah.
Yeah. So that means a temperature increases with height. Okay.
Okay.
So therefore, when you shout across a lake, sound waves higher up are now traveling faster than those near the surface. So if you have a party that's further down the block and you're during the daytime, you wouldn't be able to hear that party if there's a party, say, during the daytime, you wouldn't be able to hear it, say it's a block and a half away. But at nighttime, you'd be able to hear that because of the temperature, you know, lowering. That sound wave would, of course, be able to be heard further away because of the lowering of the temperature.
Wow.
Temperature inversion, my friend.
You know what we need is the doom, 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 the more you know sound. Tim,
I got that? I don't have that sound, no.
Okay, you're going to have to pull that up because we're going to need that, but bastard, yeah, when you come out with intelligent talk like that.
It's a refraction of sound waves. So, wow. So that's why you could potentially hear parties at night if there are parties going on. And didn't you live near a golf course?
Yeah, we lived near one of the biggest. It was the Medina Golf Course where they had PGA Opens, but there was always some kind of party or cotillion or coming out event. Yeah.
So if you could be hearing parties going on over at the golf course, and you would be able to hear it at night because of the temperature inversion going on at night. Cooler temperatures. Sound dun, waves dun, dun, dun. So there you go.
Thank you, Mr. Science. Tim is your answer, man. Well done. I like that. Dear Dave and Tim, I really enjoy listening to you guys on Darkness Radio and watching you on the Holzer Files. Still waiting for a season 3 announcement. Come on, Discovery Plus. That's how this email begins. I just gave you your announcement, Brian. So take it for what it is. I had a quick story I wanted to share with you guys. It was a Saturday. I just got home from work. My wife was in the kitchen and starting to get dinner ready, and our one-year-old son was playing with some toys on the living room floor. After I kicked off my work boots and changed out my work clothes, I wanted to turn on the Charlotte Hornets game, our local NBA team. The TV was on a kids show to keep my son occupied while my wife was cooking. I started looking for the remote to change the channel, but I couldn't find it anywhere. I walked into the kitchen where you can see from the living room to ask my wife if she knew where the remote was. She told me that she couldn't remember where she put it. Right after I asked her about the remote, the TV started changing channels. I naturally figured that my son had gotten a hold of the remote and must be pushing buttons. He was still on the floor in front of the TV playing. I went to get the remote from him, but he wasn't playing with it. He was just playing with some toy cars. Confused, I stood there watching the TV change channels one by one, trying to figure out what the hell was going on. On our TV, once you get a channel, down at the bottom of the screen, it shows the channel it's on and the program that it's currently playing. The TV stopped changing channels on TLC, and the show that was on was called A Haunting. The remote ended up being in between the couch cushions. I know that the button could have been pressed due to the pressure from the cushions, but the TV had been on the same channel for a while and didn't start changing channels until I got home and asked about the remote. I'm not sure if someone or something was trying to get my attention, but they got it. Thank you for reading and keep doing what you're doing. You guys are awesome. That comes from Brian in South Carolina. Thank you, Brian. Yes. Yes, we are awesome. I appreciated that. How'd you like that, Tim?
I like that.
All right, let's take a break. We'll do a theater of the mind, and then we've got more news stories starting now. Today's theater of the mind, entering the world of the black-eyed kids. A true story from Shelby Taylor. About 2 years ago, I was a junior in college and studying abroad in Japan. While looking up ghost stories on the internet, I came across Darkness Radio and became instantly hooked. I'd listen to the podcast nearly every day, catching daily doses of the paranormal. One evening, I was sitting in the living room area of my dorm unit with my headphones, listening to one of Darkness Radio's podcasts. It was when the Black Eyed Kid stories were still pretty new. I was listening and thinking how creepy these stories were when my friend walked into the dorm's unit living room. She nodded her hello and went to my kitchen and grabbed a snack, and on her way back from the kitchen, she asked what I was listening to. I told her I was listening to a podcast about the paranormal, and they were talking about things called black-eyed kids. She stopped eating, and her eyes went wide. I gave a basic rundown of the story I was listening to on the show, because I thought her reaction was just her being creeped out. But she got much more agitated as I went on. Finally, I asked what was wrong. She put down what she was eating, which meant she was serious. I swear, I saw this girl keep eating her lunch through a 5.6 earthquake while we were over there in Japan. And then she told me why she was so freaked out. This is her story. My friend was living off campus while attending university in San Diego and commuted between her mom, dad's, and boyfriend's house while going to classes during the day. Her boyfriend had picked her up from campus library late one night, and they were driving through his neighborhood when they noticed three young kids walking along the road a few blocks away from her boyfriend's house. My friend, Elise, thought it was odd that such young kids, the youngest one probably about 10 years old, and the oldest maybe 13, were just walking around alone this late at night. They drove past and soon made it back to the boyfriend's house with no problems. About 20 minutes after arriving at the boyfriend's house, Elise's boyfriend went to take a shower. She said she was just about to go to bed when she heard a knock at the door. Elise said her boyfriend's neighborhood wasn't exactly white picket fence suburbia, so she wasn't eager to answer the door. She thought she'd just ignore it. But the knocking persisted. She got out of bed and walked toward the front door. And when she got closer, she heard a kid's voice asking for help.
"Please, we're lost. Can we come in and use your phone?"
"Now, you know me, I'm not stupid," Elise told me. "I figured it was someone using a kid to get the door open to rob us or something. I didn't say anything, but they just kept knocking. So I went to get my boyfriend out of the shower." By the time she got her boyfriend out of the shower, the knocking had stopped. Elise pushed her boyfriend to the door to check. They were still there, Elise said, just standing there. When her boyfriend looked out and muttered, "What the fuck?" she leaned over and looked out the peephole. I swear to God, they had jet black eyes, just like that show is saying. It was the freakiest shit I'd ever seen. We almost called the cops, but we just grabbed my boyfriend's baseball bat and went to sleep with it next to the bed. The next morning, we laughed about it, figuring it had to be some punk kids just playing a joke or something, right? But I could tell, hearing about it from another source really terrified her. So much so that she was paranoid about going back to California after our stay in Japan. Very cool. Another great story. Remember, send us your story. It may be featured on an upcoming Theater of the Mind. Make sure to write it and use that spell check. Don't be afraid to put it in paragraph forms. And if you could keep the story relatively short, anywhere between 1 to 3 pages of well-spaced out and well-spelled, maybe read it out loud to yourself. That would be great. That's all we're asking. But send it to dave@darknessradio.com. Maybe you want to hear your own voice featured on the show. Maybe you want to call in 651-300-4977. 651-300-4977. And you can leave your own story of supernatural hijinks. If you've had a paranormal encounter, we want to hear from you. 651-300-4977. But Dave, I've called in. You jackasses haven't played the audio. You're right. There are many calls that we get that we do not play. The reason why? Because it's a 3-minute audio, and if you go over the 3 minutes, it cuts you off. And if you're not paying attention and you miss the beep at the end, all we have is, "And then I walked down the flight of stairs when I felt something grab my beep." And then there's no follow-up. Maybe that was for dramatic effect, and you vanished during this telling of that story. The world will never know. But if you get beeped, then just call back, pick up where you got beeped at, and tell us the rest of your story. Tim will then take the 2 pieces of audio. This is black magic, in my opinion, but he'll knit them together into one cohesive tale of terror. So give us a call, 651-300-4977. That phone number will be on today's program guide information, so you have no excuse not to know where to find that number. All right, Tim, let us get to it. We've talked about jellyfish-like creatures with multiple anuses, carnivorous Polish ants, Tim.
Do they make good pierogies, by the way?
They might. Acid-squirting land lobsters from hell in Texas, Tim. Mm-hmm. We've talked about poltergeists scratching chicks' thighs.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've even talked about CCTV footage in Scotland that has left netizens' minds blown.
Love those closed captions.
Yeah. No, Tibbetts. Closed circuit TV. Okay. It's like your security cameras. Ah, okay. Meaning it's not broadcasting to the rest of the world, but into your home or onto your screens.
Oh. Yeah.
But Tim, speaking of screens, mm-hmm. the Paranormal Activity universe is continuing with a new upcoming film. Paramount Pictures is getting back paranormal with a new installment in the Paranormal Activity horror franchise. After the final film, all right, Tim, Paranormal Activity, The Ghost Dimension, without looking it up, what year did it come out? How many years has it been since the last Paranormal Activity movie? Go.
6 years.
Very good. 2015 it came out, Tim. How did you know that?
I don't know. It just popped into my head. 2015. Yeah,
can you believe it's been 6 years since the last movie?
I can, because I can't remember. As I'm sitting here.
They were coming
here,
out all the time.
Yeah, they were. They were coming out like once every 6 months, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, yeah. It was like once a year or once every other year at least.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. Well, after the final film in 2015, Paranormal Activity, The Ghost Dimension, fans were pretty sure that the franchise was over. But in the era of remakes and reboots, what's gone is never really gone unless it's Dave and Tim's hair.
Yeah, that's gone. Yeah.
That's been gone for quite some time. Although there are pictures out there with Tim looking very Richard Marx when he wore a toupee. And I looked like I had a bale of hay on top of my head.
Dead dog.
Yeah. His was great. His was pompadour-like and beauteous. Mine, wilted stalks of hay. Anyway, the newest film will premiere exclusively on Paramount Plus next year. The film production is done. William Eubanks, The Signal and Underwater, directs the reboot with Christopher Landon, who wrote Paranormal Activity 2 through 5. He has written the script. I do like Christopher Landon's work, man.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Blum spoke to Collider about why he decided to reboot it. Paramount wanted to continue Paranormal Activity. I probably would have just left it alone, adds Blum. So they wanted to continue it, but I thought if they're going to continue it, you gotta. It was tired, but there's no way to continue that road we'd been down. Blum didn't want to rehash the same themes and stories over again. When writing the current film, he encouraged innovation. I really encouraged all the creative people involved to think of something new. A lot of people who were going to see the new Paranormal Activity were 3 years old when the first Paranormal Activity came out, so they don't even know from those older movies. I thought if we're going to redo it, you better really redo it and try and expand what we did all those years. Oh, not try and expand what we did all those years ago. See, that's a big difference.
Yeah.
Not try or try.
Mm-hmm.
That's like I cheated on you or I did not cheat on you. Those are two drastically different.
Yeah.
And knowing where to put that not can save your life, Tim.
Yes, it can, yeah. Among other things.
Yes. Yeah. So the allure of the found footage horror hit began with the Blair Witch Project, but peaked with Paranormal Activity. However, I don't know if this generation needs more of the franchise, but I am curious to see what new details Jason Blum brings to this franchise, Tim. I came up with one. I came up with a concept that I'm excited about.
Really?
I really did. And I'm trying to figure out how to connect with Jason Blum about this. Because I think it depends. Now they probably screwed it up by bringing out a new Paranormal Activity movie.
Yeah.
But I had a cool take on it. Should I tell you? Because it's never going to get done.
Don't ever say that, because you never know if it will or won't.
Right, but maybe the way it'll get done is somebody that actually has pull will hear me and then steal it and write it, and I'll actually get to see it someday.
Like, I have a great concept for a crossover paranormal show, but it'll never get made.
Well, see, that's what my idea is a crossover show from two Blumhouse projects.
Yeah.
Should I say this?
I don't think you should. I know the audience is probably clamoring to hear it, but
I think it's an interesting, fascinating twist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it takes two different genres, but still underneath the umbrella of Blumhouse.
Unless
and
you
puts
yell,
them together.
I don't even know if you yell copyright Dave Schrader beforehand and it's on audio that it even is a stamp.
Well, but it should be, because we know when we recorded it and we know when we aired it.
And it's a matter of public record because it's on a website or it's published. I don't know. I don't know that it stands as a legal copyright if you throw it out there.
I'm
going to
do it. I'm going to do it, Tim. Yeah. This is my thought.
It's your funeral, but go ahead.
It's one of two concepts. I have two concepts.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for this?
Okay.
One The first iteration of it is called The Purge Conjuring. So it's one of the inset stories of The Purge, which, if people don't know, one night a year, all crime is legal, including murder. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's a fascinating story that tells and shows you the insights into our culture. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So my thoughts were, what if this, and it's usually about, you know, some shithead middle American white people doing dumb things, right?
Yeah.
So what if this group of shithead middle America white people are trying to make their way to like a big city to be part of the purge, mm-hmm. but their car breaks down and they're kind of pissed until they notice that off in the distance, there's a house, and they all look at each other and they think, these fuckers think they're safe. I say we do the purge here. And as they start to approach the house, they notice the curtains pulling back and faces peeking out at them. Right?
Yep.
And they end up going to the Conjuring house.
Oh.
And once they get in, the doors slam shut, and the souls of those that have been purged before start wreaking havoc on these survivors, these three or four purgers, and just terrifying them throughout the entire movie. Huh?
I like it.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's either that or it was Paranormal Activity, The Purge, where the spirits that have been purged just start, you know, having this activity take place to the people that have purged them. I kind of like my original idea better, but I'm just saying that's kind of the balance in those. And I think those two worlds could come together in a really creepy way.
Yeah.
You're welcome, world. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Dave Schrader, there's the box. Here's me outside of it thinking, Tim. Pow!
That's a good thought.
You know, here's another movie I don't know that I need a prequel to, mm-hmm. but because it's got Pam Grier in it, I'll watch. I like Pam Grier.
I do. Oh, are you putting her in your movie, or are you saying that there's another movie?
No, there's a new movie, upcoming Pet Sematary prequel for Paramount Plus that adds Pam Grier. Oh. A new installment in the Pet Sematary franchise is in the works for Paramount Plus, with Jeff Bueller, who wrote the 2019 adaptation, writing it. There's been a ton of casting already, but Variety adds that the legendary Pam Grier, you know her from Foxy Brown, Jackie Brown, she's joined the cast.
Nice.
Grier joins the cast that includes Natalie Allen Lind, Tim. Can you believe it?
Really?
And Jack Mulhern and Forrest Goodluck. Oh, did I also mention Isabella Star LeBlanc?
Get out of here.
I don't know any of those people.
I don't either.
But thankfully, they also have Jackson White, who's playing a young version of Judd Crandall. Jackson White, Tim. I don't know who that is.
I have no idea.
The upcoming Pet Sematary will serve as an origin story to the Stephen King novel about a family that discovers a rather disturbing graveyard in the woods behind their home. Lindsay Beer, I like that name. I don't care if I recognize it or not. I love me Beer, is making her directorial debut. Beer also wrote the latest draft of the movie's script. The movie, which still doesn't have a title, begins shooting in August and will debut exclusively on Paramount Plus. I will tell you this. That is one of the only, I think there were three books in my life I read that really freaked me the hell out. Pet Sematary is one of them.
Yeah. Yep.
That book terrified the baboopy out of me. The baboopy,
Tim. The baboopy?
Yeah, the baboopy. Really, that's the moment I'm going to not swear. It terrified the shit out of me. Right? From one of my many anuses that opens when I'm frightened.
Tim. Well, yeah, I bet. Right, the one right off your elbow. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right there. It was that book freaked me out. I'd be interested in seeing, you know, I didn't care for, I liked the original. Pet Sematary mm-hmm. from the 80s, early 90s. I really liked that movie a lot. It scared the poopy out of me as well, right? Yes.
Yeah.
There were some scenes. I didn't care for the Eddie Furlong sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Then the reboot a few years ago, I just thought was okay.
Yeah, it was okay. Yeah.
Not great. Not fantastic. No. Didn't suck. It just was okay.
Yeah.
Right? But I'd be interested in going back a little bit and seeing the story. Although, you know what? I think part of the problem was I like John Lithgow.
Yes.
Yep. But his Judd Crandall just didn't have that same real world charm that Fred Herman Munster Gwynne did in the original.
Yeah. Yeah. And the only problem with Lithgow is there's always Lithgow in it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Even though you looked at Herman Munster, Fred Gwynne, and said, oh my God, it's Herman Munster without makeup. His charm and acting takes you out of the fact that it's Fred.
Yeah.
Fred Flintstone. Herman Munster.
Yeah, Herman Munster. His name is. Right, yeah.
There is a documentary about the making of the first Pet Sematary.
Really?
That, and I know I've mentioned it before. Let me, documentary about Pet Sematary. Let me see what the name of that was, because it's a really good documentary. It's called Unearthed and Untold, The Path to Pet Sematary. If you get a chance to see it, it was on IFC, I think. It was on one of those, but it was a really creepy-ass documentary. Not creepy-ass in the sense, I shouldn't say creepy-ass. It was just a really fascinating documentary showing the making of that movie and how unlikely it was to be made. And it's really good. Unearthed and Untold, The Path to Pet Sematary. So if you get a chance, watch that, folks. If you like the original, check it out.
I think the only thing that this Pet Sematary prequel is missing, and I think what most horror movies are missing, and they're missing the boat on it completely, Lindsay Buckingham.
What?
Lindsay Buckingham in any horror movie in a cameo with his guitar singing, I think we're in trouble.
That. I thought you were going to go the Holiday Road.
No.
Just Holiday Road. Holiday Road.
No, that's too happy for
I know, just, that would. But what if we played it in like minor chords and it was like Holiday Road. And then your clap is like.
That's still too happy. No, it's just singing, I think we're
it's
in trouble.
It's one of those songs you can't make. It's like the Smurf theme. No matter how you do it, you can't make it sad or depressing.
Ah, just trouble. Yeah. Think we're in trouble.
Well, and then there's a song, "Insane," go insane.
Yeah, go insane. See, he's got the library there for a horror movie.
Yeah, both songs.
Yep.
Not extensive library. But
No. I mean, we're talking cameos here. We're not talking full script. Yeah.
I don't like Lindsay Buckingham.
I know you don't, but there's a lot.
I do like those three songs. Those three songs. That's it. Anything he did with Fleetwood Mac, I just want to.
There's a lot of fans out there that like to call themselves motherbuckers that are out there.
Really? That's what they call themselves?
They call themselves motherbuckers, and they're out there looking for a Buckingham cameo in a horror movie. Yeah.
No, I won't. I'm not going to agree with that one. I'm going to disagree.
Huh. All right.
If you really want horror associated with Fleetwood Mac, just listen to Stevie Nicks' Christmas songs.
Wow.
We've played it on the show, Tim. You know I'm right.
Yeah, you're
right. And here's the thing.
Yeah.
I do like Stevie Nicks.
I don't believe that.
She's a talented artist. I liked her solo stuff. There's just something about Fleetwood Mac music that makes me.
Because I've offered to get you Mac tickets and then go with you. And,
no, I won't go. I won't go to see Fleetwood Mac. There's just something. I don't know if it's like the common, like look, right? You take one ingredient on its own, it's good. You mix it, like if I take sugar, oh, it's so good. You mix it with vinegar, not so much, right? Then you add a little cumin and then maybe some poop. Not what you want. That's to me what Fleetwood Mac in. It's vinegar, sugar, cumin, and poop. And that's it. Now, before all of you meathead Mackers write to me, just don't. There's nobody that's going to convince me Fleetwood Mac music is good. I just don't like it. It's just, blah. So, but I do like Lindsay Buckingham's three songs that weren't Fleetwood Mac. And I do like some of Stevie Nicks' music. But everybody, even Stevie Nicks fans, don't like her Christmas music.
Silent night. Holy night.
Now you're just doing Goat Boy from SNL.
But, no, I'm not. I'm doing Stevie Nicks. Listen to her song. We've talked about it on the show. People have laughed their ass off about it in the past because they thought, oh, Dave, you're being such a dick. And then they go listen to it, and all they can hear is
Silent Night. Holy Night.
That's how her Christmas album is. That's like, that was like, oh, the sweet, dulcet sounds of sugar dripping on honey, dripping on poop. Boom. Right? You take her majestic voice, her singing ability, and then put it with Christmas music, you'd think it's going to be the sugar cookie of love. Instead, it's a powdered sugar poo.
Powdered sugar poo.
But I digress. Yvette Fielding shares some of her most haunted. Guys, this is a bit. We joke around. I absolutely adore Fleetwood. I can't say it. I can't say it. Nope, I don't adore them. They're horrible. Fleetwood Mac sucks. They're right up there with, who's that other band I can't stand? Steely Dan.
Now, listen, now you are crossing the line. You are just crossing the line. For that? Yeah. For that?
Hey, I wish Ricky would lose my number. That's all I got to tell you.
All right, for that, you get some of this.
Stop it.
Yeah, how do you like that, huh? Huh? How do you like that, huh? All right, that's enough of that.
You didn't hurt me with that. You just hurt every listener around the world. But now they know I'm right.
There was nothing wrong with that little sample.
Dude, that's horrible. Her voice is horrible in that song. Horrible. Just go back to singing about how much you hate Lindsey Buckingham. That's where your talent lies. She's a witch, Dave. She's a white witch. She's not going to throw, like, turn me into a frog or shit. She's a good human, and I like her. I just don't like her Christmas music.
Come, they told me, baby. The newborn king to see,
Yvette Fielding is sharing some of her most haunted experiences that inspired her new book. That's right. Most Haunted's presenter Yvette Fielding is sharing the inspiration behind her new book, The House in the Woods, ahead of its launch later this year. And that's all I want to tell you about because I don't like Yvette Fielding and I don't like the show. Boom.
Wow.
Remember when we had her on the show?
I do, actually. I
her husband... Bob or whatever his name is. Carl Pilkington. We had him on the show. We showed good. We showed love for them.
Yeah.
Right. And they were dicks to us before the show, dicks to us after the show. And then I heard from people that know us both that they went out of their way to badmouth the show after it aired. So I got no love for Yvette Fielding.
I think the archive is actually up if you'd like to hear.
I'd like to send her Stevie Nicks' Christmas album, as a matter of fact. That's how irritated I am. Hey, I mentioned her new book is coming out. I still mentioned it, Tim.
You did, yeah. Mm-hmm.
A huge UFO mothership with flashing lights was reportedly spotted hovering over a Las Vegas airport. Video footage uploaded to YouTube appears to show an unusual object mysteriously glowing over the Nevada desert as planes were coming into land. Paranormal researchers were left baffled by the glowing lights. Michael Roser of Dark Hour Paranormal branded the footage curious. As he pointed out, several sets of lights alongside a bright red flashing light in the center. He said, instinctively, when I'm looking at that, I think, well, this must have something to do with the FAA, something licensed. Either we're looking at three independent crafts and possibly they extend literally or laterally into the air, or we're looking at one giant craft where we're not seeing the outline. Paranormal researcher Rich Giordano said, I don't know if we're looking at airplanes coming in for a landing or even taking off. It's interesting because you have three distinct sets of lights. He admitted that he doesn't know if he's looking at towers on a mountain or an aircraft. Well, if they're moving, they're an aircraft.
Well, yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
You're just hovering and never go away. It's probably towers. And
or a blimp.
Here's a secret. If you go look in the morning in the same area and you see towers up on the hill in daylight, that's probably what it was. Pass it on.
Can I tell you a side note real quick here?
I would love a side note because it'll give me a chance to take a sip of my delicious water.
Okay, you do that. This past weekend in the Blaine area, we had the 3M Open Championships golf. And they had a huge blimp in the area, of course, doing the TV coverage. They were shooting the overhead shots. And intern Yoko, driving around the area, damn near slammed on her brakes and caused a 10-car pileup when she saw the blimp in the area, thinking it was, guess what?
An UFO.
Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry, a UAP.
A UAP, yes.
So wait, she did cause a
No. She damn near did. She saw it. She's coming over the hill. She's doing her work. I can't say what she does for a living. It's stripping. All right, she's stripping. And not
at a strip joint. She strips paint and varnish off of wood. Folks.
Exactly.
That's it. Don't get all worked
up. She's going from house to house. Mm-hmm. And as she's driving over, she's coming over one of the moguls there on 65, looks up and sees this giant blimp and thinks, oh, my God, we're being attacked by aliens.
Hmm.
And no, it wasn't.
That's what they like to do.
Yeah, they like to fly in on blimps and take us over.
And hover over golf outings. Yeah.
Yeah.
We shall take over the world one golf course at a time.
And I said, did you forget the 3M championships were this weekend? And there's a giant blimp overhead shooting footage. Yeah. No, it's a cute story. But anyways, continue. Yeah.
Well, that's it. That's pretty much. Well, there's more, I guess. Yeah. Paranormal researcher Rich Giordano said, I don't know if we're looking at airplanes coming in or landing lights taking off. It's interesting because you have three sets of lights. We could be looking at towers on a mountain. I've told you how to figure that out. Giordano said, it's really odd. It's almost looks as if it could be one craft as well. And it's just sitting there like a mothership. This is one of those unusual things where you have to say what makes the most sense. It's that unusual. You can't line it up. You can't line up the white lights, the red light, with the city's lights because they don't get enough time to see where they're moving or if they're moving. What do you mean? If you look at them, are they moving or not?
No.
To me, it looks like they're stationary, and that's what makes it even more intriguing. It's a mystery, but it's Las Vegas where everything goes.
Yep.
Well, if other planes are coming in and landing, I'm going to guess it's not an UFO because FAA would have confirmed that.
Yes.
Right? And they would have backed it off. Now, according to the official notes, Tim, right? Several Twitter users spotted lights floating in a straight line back in March. Speculation was rife on social media as some suggested the lights were UFOs, while others thought they were military flares. One person said he saw a huge mass behind the lights and said it looked like one object, not separate aircraft. But the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, Tim, not fat ass astronauts, that's not what it stands for, confirmed that the lights were flares from the Northwest military ranges. It comes as the Pentagon allegedly has in its possession a video of UFOs moving in a strange pattern that is expected to leave viewers rattled, according to an expert.
Well, not only that, but if it's a huge aircraft that's just floating there in airspace, wouldn't you assume that you would eventually see some sort of wouldn't you see some sort of Air Force presence be scattered out to that floating
not
aircraft?
Not necessarily. I don't know that they do that anymore.
In Las Vegas?
Because I think they're afraid they're going to get blasted. Yeah. Because do you really want to engage a giant UFO that, you know, obviously might be able to blow your ass out of the sky over a major populated area?
I would think to
start raining down Black Hawk helicopters and
well, you would at least see a helicopter. You'd see some F-16 fighters from the local airbase just fly around it just to see it is.
But there's a lot of them that they don't anymore. I don't know if they're, you know how police will pull back when a car is speeding to try to evade? They'll stop chasing so that...
Not in Minneapolis.
No, but you know what I'm saying? That's the main course. A lot of times they'll straighten and radio ahead and try to stop them a different way. That might be what they do in the skies as well. Anyway, here's an interesting story. It goes back in time, Tim. Are you ready for an astronaut alien encounter?
Yes.
NASA astronaut witnesses a terrifying cigar-shaped UFO. It rotated as a pole stuck out. Do you think it was giving us the equivalent of the finger?
Yes, very much so. Yeah.
A NASA astronaut saw a UFO in space that resembled a beer can with a slick pencil poking out. Or was he just happy to see the astronauts? Jim McDivitt, who's now 92, took part in a space mission that he will never forget back in 1965. In early June, McDivitt and his crewmate Edward White launched on NASA's second manned space mission named Gemini 4. But neither man could have predicted what McDivitt would observe when they took off from Florida's Cape Kennedy Air Force Station. The NASA astronaut, who was 35 at the time, sighted a white cigar-shaped UFO while in space and returned to Earth. He was still in the dark about what he had witnessed after more than a decade. At the moment I saw it, I said there was something out in front of me or outside the spaceship that I couldn't identify, and I never have been able to identify it. And I don't think anybody ever will, he remarked on a U.S. television show back in the 1970s, Tim. As it spun around, I observed something out in front of me that was white, cylindrical in shape, and had a white pole poking out of the corner. It resembled a beer can with an erection, a slick pencil protruding from it. The astronaut, who also served as commander of NASA's Apollo 9 mission, took out his camera to photograph the object. He continued, "As the sun shone on the glass, I could no longer look out, and the object suddenly vanished. The images taken by McDivitt were out of focus." He also claimed that nothing was detected on the radars of the North American Aerospace Defense Command. Experts believe the UFO was likely orbital debris from the Gemini 4 launch, and that there is a far simpler explanation that obviously a well-honed astronaut would not recognize as part of his shuttle. Bullshit.
Yeah.
The case of Gemini 4 cannot be closed, according to former space engineer James Oberg. However, he believes Mr. McDivitt may have spotted a piece of NASA's Titan 11 rocket. Okay, so if it's a... but Titan 11 is what took them up there, right? McDivitt said that more than a decade later refused to believe he could have misidentified that object, but both his degraded eyesight and different viewing angle at the time of the sighting eliminate any reliability from that claim. And years of UFO research have taught us that surprising lessons that pilots are, in fact, among the poorest observers of UFOs because of the glare of the sun. I see the press agent for the sun is out and about right now, Tim. Sons of bitches. Uri Geller will set it all straight for us, though, Tim.
No good.
Because he claims that he saw aliens at NASA. That's right. Celebrity Spoonbender, which I'm sure he loves, that title. Uri Geller claims he saw refrigerated aliens during his time working with NASA. The controversial illusionist, whose psychic feats have often been met with a significant degree of skepticism, has made a number of out-there claims over the years and maintains that his abilities have been responsible for bringing about all manner of election results and sporting achievements. Back in the early 1970s, he was investigated by U.S. intelligence, which concluded, according to a declassified report, that he demonstrated his paranormal perceptual ability in a convincing and unambiguous manner. Geller also claims to have worked with NASA, where he struck up a friendship with astronaut Edgar Mitchell and even met Wernher von Braun, the aerospace engineer who worked on developing rocket technology for Nazi Germany before being recruited by the U.S. at the end of World War II. I like that term, recruited. I don't know if he was recruited as much as taken and told, you're going to work here or we're going to kill you.
Yeah.
He said he heard about my powers and told me that if he took his wedding ring off his finger and put it in the palm of his hand and I'd be able to bend it while it's there, he'd believe me, Geller told the Jerusalem Post. And I did, completely. Seemingly impressed by Geller's ability, von Braun invited him to the office where he opened a safe and presented him with a very strange piece of metal. It was breathing, three-dimensional, and a color I'd never seen before. But it was metal, said Geller. I put my hand on it and I realized right away that it wasn't from this planet. Von Braun said I was right and that it was from a crashed UFO. Von Braun then took him to an unmarked building in which there was a refrigerated room. Geller wouldn't disclose exactly what was being kept there, but the implication red line, he said, I can't tell you what I saw there, but you use your imagination. What could they have been refrigerating? He asks. I would have seen if Uri could have bent the UFO metal with his brain.
I can just see old Wernher going, you see this color here? We call it puce.
Puce. Let's see if you can move this with your mind.
Turns
do it
this,
now!
Makes this into a star, Uri.
Makes this into a star.
A puce a star.
Ghost. Yeah, a ghost in a new home forces a French family to sleep outside in a tent, Tim. For this story, we're going to Pierre LeBlanc to share this tale, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Hello, my American friends, you pigs. Often you wish to see your dreams are fulfilled, but fate has other plans for you. The same thing happened with a couple from France. The couple bought a beautiful home in a Ripalon commune in eastern France, but had to move out soon after they sensed the presence of some other invisible character in their new home. The couple named Patricia and David moved into their beautiful new home only a few days ago with their two children, but could not stay there very long since they were getting disturbed by a ghost living inside the house. The couple clammed. The couple claims that their daughter has witnessed all kinds. Why are you laughing?
You said clammed.
Do you not understand my language?
Clammed.
You're a pig and a possum. That's what I say to you. A pig and a possum. The couple claims that their daughter had witnessed all kinds of strange things around the house, which was built in 2016. According to them, all started off with the appearance of a black shadow in the wall one day. After that, things got progressively worse. The power would go on and off by itself, and the TV, she would turn on without anyone switching it on. The phone, also acting up without any reason. And the utensils also started moving and rattling on their own. In no time, the family moved out on the lawn, where they have been sleeping in a tent ever since. After seeing these incidents, the family, they called in paranormal investigator, who told them that the soul of a woman has been stuck inside the house since the 19th century, which is bizarre since the house was only built in 2016. And she does not want anyone to stay there. The couple is now in a pickle, as we say in France, since they cannot move anywhere else, owing to the fact that David is suffering from a disability. According to reports, they receive this house under the social assistance program of the French government, and its owners are denying any knowledge of any paranormal activity in the house. The family wants to shift. I said shift. Different house, but it will take the time. So in the meanwhile, they will have little option but to stay outside and sleep under the open sky of France, which in itself is a true gift from the Lord, because God looks down upon the French and says, you are my true people. Screw the rest of the world. I'm Pierre LeBlanc, and this is my story.
He's an angry, angry Parisian.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Yeah. Very angry. Thank you, Pierre LeBlanc. It's always nice to have those correspondents pop in to them, even when they're kind of angry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you believe in ghosts? That's how this next article begins, because this video will even make non-believers believe. A paranormal team proved that a Hannibal restaurant is haunted from former employees. Riverside Restaurant was investigated by a local paranormal team, and in the 9.5-minute video, you can clearly see this restaurant. She is haunted, no?
No.
Hannibal has a fantastic ghost tour that I highly encourage you to take. Maybe they need to add this location on their tour. In the video, you can see the team talk to a ghost who responds to the equipment that they're using. No one knows who these ghosts are or what happened to them, but it's clear that you will get more than a delicious meal at the Riverside Restaurant, which is a fantastic place for a date night. Except for the fact that it's in Missouri, and Missouri is raging with COVID Delta variant. Allegedly, Tim. Allegedly. It might be monkeypox. Have you heard monkeypox is in the United States now?
I'm looking forward to it.
No, Tim, you're not. Monkeypox is brutal. It'll attack and you'll get rashes on your hands, the bottom of your feet, and your face. Eventually, those rashes turn into a giant scab, which peel off and leave you looking as though you have quite a bad burn.
Well, that's not good.
Other places in Hannibal that are reported haunted are the Rockcliffe Mansion. Past caretakers have reported seeing a spirit of the lumber baron John Cruikshank. People have heard footsteps, Tim, footsteps up and down the mansion stairs, and the smell of a cigar, Tim, an evil cigar.
I like cigars.
Another Hannibal restaurant also has reported paranormal experiences. The apartment above La Bina Bistro has been known to have a few ghost hauntings and experiences of the people that have lived there. Customers have seen Percy Hayden lurking around Java Jive. Hayden owned and operated the local hardware store, and it's guessed that maybe he just wants to make sure everything is still running smoothly. Of course, the oldest building in Hannibal is haunted. No home to Finn's Food and Spirits. The building itself has been known to be haunted and see by employees and a few customers. Ghosts have been I don't know why it was written very Yoda-like there.
The building itself has been known to be haunted and see by employees and few customers ghosts have.
It was kind of grovery there at the end.
Yeah.
Oh, Froggy. Those are just a few of the known ghost encounters in the Hannibal area. And if you do believe that the haunted Hannibal ghost tour is really fun to do, especially at night around Halloween. No, and if you do believe, take that Hannibal ghost tour. Again, important not to skip over certain words, Tim.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Here's an article I'll also have up on the site, and it'll show you all the cool places you can visit when you go to Hannibal, Missouri, during the middle of the COVID crisis, Delta variant, monkeypox.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah. Sounds like a cereal. New from Kellogg's, monkeypox. Banana-flavored Fruit Loops, along with walnuts and acorns. Get your monkeypox now.
Shaped like little monkeys.
That's right.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, that's it. That's all I got to share with you, Tim, this week. How about them apples? You like them apples?
I love them apples.
Well, that's it. That was our last news story for this week. I hope you all enjoyed the program. Remember, we're back again tomorrow. We're going to hear a strange story of exorcism, Tim, a possession, a heart-wrenching story of a child watching his mother go through what can only be considered one of the most terrifying experiences in history. That's tomorrow on the show. Thursday night, Tim, you can tune in to our live video stream. We're going to talk about ghosts, spirit energy, disconnecting from negative forces, negative energy from the living and the dead alike. We'll be talking with Jamie Houck and the legendary Echo Bodine. That's this Thursday. Go to YouTube and check out our Darkness Radio YouTube channel. You'll be able to subscribe to it for free. Click the bell so you get alerted when there's new programs posted up there. And then for those of you that listen to the podcast solely, you'll be able to hear that audio Friday right here on the show. For Tim Dennis, I'm Dave Schrader. You've been listening to the best in paranormal podcasting. This,
she is Darkness Radio.